In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen. Christos voskresi.
Voskresi. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Truly.
What blessed words we've been able to speak. He's now nearly 40 days since the first Pascha, for that Pascha night. And this is that time of year when I start to get a little bittersweet, you know. We're in that Paschal season. We're saying Christ is risen. We're hearing all of the hymns of Pascha just so brightly and continue to sing it together. And we know it's going to end this week. Formally, the feast ends and the leave-taking this Wednesday. Doesn't mean great things aren't coming, of course, but I just feel like those disciples on Ascension Mount when they were saying, you know, Lord, you're going to leave us? And he had in mind the Holy Spirit's coming, and we've got that great feast to celebrate, but it's just a little bit bittersweet. Today we look at Pascha and we think about what's come, what's gone already. Remember the first night. What were the words the Father Steve, he chanted as the light started? Remember those words? Come, receive the light, never overtaken by the night, and glorify Christ risen from the dead. The light, never overtaken by the darkness. And so we've seen these themes this Paschal season, that season of light. Father Steve has brought that out again and again. As we look at the Gospels, there are these recurring themes. And of course, we remember the Paschal season was that time in which those who were newly baptized into Christ were taught. If you ever have a chance and you ever get you have the volumes that you can obtain of St. Cyril of Jerusalem, St. Cyril wrote some beautiful catechesis sermons based on these themes of light and darkness for the baptized. And we see it today in the Gospel. The theme is showing through so plainly, this idea of the darkness and the light in the healing of this blind man. And that's what I want us to concentrate upon, very simply, these ideas of darkness and light. First of all, the darkness, equated with this blindness. Here is this man who comes, the man who is born blind. He has no sight. There was no physical ability for him to ever gain his sight by human standards. Probably not even in our own time of technological advances. He was in the dark. Darkness. The terrible thing indeed. I think about the darkness that's evident here in the Gospel readings, not only in this blind man, but in the Gospel that just preceded this text, in John chapter 8. This illustrated the darkness that was evident, not only a physical darkness, but a spiritual darkness, so evident in the people of Israel. Remember this in chapter 8. He had this dialogue with the Jews. We got to get very, very heated. For Jesus was trying to convince them, you are not in the truth. You are sons of Satan in your sins that you do. And the Jews were answering him back, we are not slaves to anyone. We are Abraham's children. We do the works of Abraham. We are good people. We follow the rules of God. You don't. Who are you to tell us that we are in darkness? And he says, I am, says you are in darkness. This. They got absolutely livid as he was proclaiming himself to be God. And then immediately after that, after the gospel in John 8 says that they took up stones to kill him, he does this miracle before us. He heals this blind man. And again, not only to show mercy to this man, but to try and show mercy to these people who were in their own blindness. We are in such an age of blindness and darkness. Why do people like the darkness? Why do we continue to go back to our sins, to our passions, the creepy crawlies of the darkness? What is it about the darkness that lures us? Think about this morning, the first reading from Acts. Paul encounters this girl. She's a slave girl, and she has been possessed of the Dark One. And her possession leads to monetary gain for these men who own her. They are in darkness also. And she goes crying after them, behold, Here are the men, servants of God. Listen to them. They have the ways of salvation. And finally, what does Paul do? Here, this woman in darkness, he says, I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And this demon came out of her that very hour. She is given light, just like the blind man. Those in darkness want to continue in their darkness. Those owners, they saw their hope of gain, of money, was gone, and they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them and put them into prison. That's how the forces of darkness react. We're seeing it all around us. We see the forces of darkness in reacting to the continued proclamation of the gospel seek to stifle it. I think of how often we've heard the charges that our faith, our religion is so backward, it's of the dark ages. I remember getting into a conversation with a gentleman, and I told him what I believed, the gospel. He said, that's so medieval. That's of such of the dark ages. You live in the dark ages with this belief. Really? All of our technology and all of our illumined thinking, have they truly brought us light? Are our families living more in the light? Are we individually living more in the light because of what we have done and what we have found? I think not. As drug abuse continues to go up. Prescription drugs among people, as I was reading a story not 2 weeks ago. Rampant abuse of prescription drugs. Why? Because we seek light, but we don't seek it in the right place. There is darkness all around us, and nothing we can do any more than the blind man in this text can bring us light. Only our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is glorious light. Think of one other instance in the book of Acts. Remember the story of Saul before he became Paul? As he was persecuting the church in his darkness, what did the Lord do? What did the Lord do to his eyes? He made him blind for a time. He brought darkness upon him to illustrate, Saul, you are not doing the will of God. You are living in darkness. And so to illustrate that, I put blinders on you. Until he proclaimed the Lord, until he came to Christ, until the risen one came into his light, and then those scales fell off his eyes, he said. Just as the blind man, he too was healed. Light has come in Christ. Look at the gospel today. It says, he told this man, first of all, Jesus spat on the ground, and he made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and then he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, and he washed, and he came back seeing. What do you see there? You have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to one of his own creatures, born because of sin, born with this deformity, not able to see, now taking that clay from which he first created all universe, by which he made us, who are clay. And he takes that clay, and with his divine moisture, moistens that element, placing it upon him, and recreating him, and then telling him, go and wash. Wash. Be baptized into Christ, the one who sends us. And he is recreated. Can you imagine the light this man saw when he was recreated? Can you imagine the joy that this man had when he opens his eyes, never having seen anything? He didn't know the colors of the grass or of the trees. He didn't know of the birds. He knew none of the beauty that was in creation until our Lord opens his eyes with this sacramental act. And then he sees. And in that light, he cannot help but be light. As our Lord says, you are a light to the world. Don't put yourself under a bushel basket and hide it, but shine it. And what does the man do? He becomes a witness. Now, granted, he didn't willingly go out and become a witness. He just keeps being dragged back in to give testimony. And all he can do is testify what has happened to him. That's oftentimes what we're called to do. Maybe we're in an unwilling situation, but we're still called to be a testimony of what Christ has done for us, for he has given us rebirth. In our baptism, he has taken our eyes of sin and opened them to his glory. So the question then is, we have seen this new creation. We have proclaimed it. Christ is risen again and again. Why would we want to return to the darkness? Why do we want to return to our passions? Well, again, remember what Paul says in Ephesians. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. Just like the slave girl in the epistle this morning. We have the demonic working against us and all around us. And we know that there are those forces seeking to bring us back into the darkness. So what are we to do? Return to the light again and again. Return to your baptism again and again. And that is what confession is for. When we come before the priest who is the witness of Christ and we speak the things of darkness, they are gone in our baptism. The clay is put back on our eyes again and we wash. That's what the tears of repentance are all about that the fathers speak about. Baptized again into Christ. Made new. The darkness does not own us. We are in the light. The light of the Savior who is himself the light. Christ is risen. Christos Anesti. Christ is risen.